And now, live from the Rockstar Worldwide Towers and on demand 24/7, it's Profit Now with Jerry Levinson.
Hello, Jerry!
Helping business owners increase profits without increasing the workload. Learn valuable strategies that you can start using right away to increase sales and profits.
Money!
And now, here's your host of Profit Now, Jerry Levinson.
Jerry, hello!
Hello, welcome to Profit Now with Jerry Levinson.
I am your host, Jerry Levinson, and fighting off a little bit of cold, so please excuse the little bit of coughing and whatnot, but I'm doing the show. I wrote the book Profit Now. My whole purpose and mission is to help you, the small business owner, increase your profits, increase your sales without increasing your workload. I ran a business called Blind Devotion for 20 years. It was a window covering business. And especially towards the end there, I got it running really good without me. I was able to increase my profits and sales to doing well over $1 million a year in business. And I was able to sell that business for a good profit and go on to coaching and consulting, what I really love to do. So I've got a very special guest today who I'm going to introduce to you in a minute. But first I want to tell you about this weekend. I took my girls to the mall this weekend. And do you ever go down to Chandler Fashion Mall, Lexi?
Oh, yeah, all the time. It's right beneath us.
It's a beautiful place. I love that mall and just hanging out, walking around. Did you ever see the train that they have there?
Where is that?
They got on the bottom floor, they have a train.
Okay.
That they run around. It's a cute little, you know, they got a conductor and little kids can get on the
nice.
Train.
That's
my kids
awesome.
Always say, oh, I want to go on the train. I want to go on the train. You know, half the time that train is, it's empty. You know, the price is $3 a kid. And I'm going there with three kids all the time. And it's like, okay, do I let them ride the train or do we have lunch?
Right.
You know, so it's a little bit expensive. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, what you want to do, you got to fill up the train. So I'm always astonished that people won't adjust, you know. And what if he charged $2 a person and filled up his train with people? Now, I'm the Profit Now guy, so I'm the last one to tell anybody to reduce prices. But look, you got to do the math here. You got to track your sales and track what's going on. What if you got, you know, 10 kids riding his train for $2 a piece versus two kids riding his train for $3 a piece? You know, he'd make a lot more money and he'd get a lot more action. The cost for him to run that train around, it goes around the whole mall area. Uh-huh. It's kind of neat, too. Yeah. The parents go on as well and they can see all the shopping areas and whatnot. And, but the cost to run that train is the same whether he's got two people on it or he's got 10 people on it. So, you know, I was even thinking this again, I'm about increasing prices. So here's one way you gotta be creative in your business. Look, if customers aren't coming in the door, if nobody's on your train, you don't want an empty train. One of the things that he could do is there's all sorts of businesses in there. There's Build-A-Bear Workshop, JCPenney's, Sears, one of those. And a food court, there's Barnes and Nobles. What if he offered a train ride was $5, but here's a coupon booklet that was a $50 value that gave you discounts on all these stores? You'd be a fool not to take him up on the train ride, because for $5, how much could you save on pretzels or a Build-A-Bear? It doesn't have to be huge savings to make up the $5. He could actually increase his sales and increase his customers, give more value, and give more value to the vendors and the shoppers and the people in the mall. How many people would encourage their customers, hey, go ride the train, you know, Build-A-Bear. Go ride the train, and he's got a coupon for 5% off a Build-A-Bear. And people can make up money that way. They get a lot more value. He makes more money. Everybody wins. Sometimes you just got to be creative and think outside the box here. So my lesson this week, don't settle for an empty train. So I see it all the time. People who don't work, at making a better situation for themselves. They don't try to change their marketing or improve their sales presentation. And this kind of laziness, I'll just never understand. And it's truly being lazy. You know, how much work does it take to think? You know, you're outside all the time. You're driving around. All it takes is a little bit of effort to think about what you can do differently. What are other companies doing that's creative, that's different? I mean, for crying out loud, people, even the fast food restaurants are taking employees that they're paying minimum wage to and teaching them how to upsell. Have you thought about in your business, how can you create an upsell? You know, how can you sell more products to the same customers? You know, shoot, even at Jack in the Box, you know, they're going to ask you if you want a pumpkin shake right now with your meal, something you weren't even thinking about. How much more do they sell just for simply asking and giving the opportunity to somebody to buy? Have you ever had a pumpkin shake?
Oh, yeah.
Are they good?
Yeah, and pumpkin lattes at Starbucks now. That's what they'll suggest.
You're Starbucks. You got to do this Starbucks thing. So another thing that's really important, none of this matters unless you measure your results. You got to test things, and then you've got to measure what's working and what's not working. So have you created a sales system that closes more deals? Have you created a marketing that attracts better customers? You know, did you raise or lower your prices? Hopefully raised if you've been listening to me or reading my books. And what has been the net effect to your profits? Do you know that you're making more money or less? You know, have you measured? And if you answered yes to any of these questions, that's great. Congratulations. The studies show that less than 10% of small businesses out there can answer any of these questions above. And why? They don't track their numbers. So it's simple, folks. There's actually a good reason why they don't track their numbers. A lot of business owners I talk to would love to know their numbers. The problem is there's not an easy tool that they can use. A lot of the software is either expensive or it's complicated to learn. And that brings me to my guest here. That's why I'm really excited to have her on. I'm excited to introduce to you Susan Reisenden from Profit Finder Pro. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for having me here.
Great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Profit Finder Pro and who created it and why?
Okay, first of all, I love that little tagline that you have at the beginning of the show, the one that talks about where you can help them increase their profits without increasing the workload.
Oh, thanks. So, yeah, it's really important because it's not necessary to, you know, I see people, they want more work. Well, more business, and more business is more work. I'd rather spend more time with my kids.
Yeah.
And less time working and still make money.
Right, right. Yep. So going back to Profit Finder Pro and why who created it and why, I have a couple brothers who've been in business in the Valley since the mid-80s. There was Randy, who had a home improvement company, and they had sales people, maybe a force of about 15, and they were spending a boatload of money on marketing, a lot of marketing money going out the door. And they didn't have a real effective way to track all that marketing and the sales, who was selling what kind of marketing and at what cost to them. And so they hired a person full-time just to track it on paper. And I've gone back to this person, this lady, and talked to her, and she said, oh, my gosh, I used to spend 3 nights a month before the meetings, the monthly meetings, to gather all that data. She was working on it, you know, every day, but then to actually do the reports for the end of the month, she would spend overnights at the office gathering that information and putting it on Randy's desk, and by the time it got to his desk, it was obsolete anyhow. But she did the best that she could at that time, given the resources that she had.
It's good. At least they were trying.
Yeah,
right? They understood
exactly. Exactly. They understood the need for it. And so then when my other brother, Warren, was working in his business and he was spending enough money on marketing to matter, he was asking Randy, you know, what numbers was it that you were tracking there? What numbers do I need to pull together? And so he had that automated on kind of a clunkier system just for his own office use. And when he started, you know, making decisions based on that, and it was helping and changing the course of his business, we thought we were kind of on to something. And then when we started getting some requests for this type of data, then we went out there and brought it to the
to the cloud to offer to other people.
Yeah, I know Warren well. He owns Trades Unlimited and a roofing company, and they've expanded out to paint and other home improvement type of things. And I knew he was frustrated with a lot of the programs that were out there because he really does work on his business hard. And I know that he makes a great effort, tries a lot of different marketing things. And he was also concerned with his sales staff and their closing rates, things like that.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, in searching for different software, there was nothing that could be tied together, you know, or bring all these numbers together right out of the box. And so we had to create it in order to be able to grow our own businesses.
All right, good. So I know some of the companies who use Profit Finder Pro. There's like a blind and shutter company, I think, that's using it, right? And a flooring company. What other types of companies are using Profit Finder Pro?
Well, there's roofing companies, dock companies, drainage, HVAC, decorative concrete, various home improvement type companies. Also some that sell software products, business consultants, tool and die. Basically, people who are spending enough money on marketing to care and handing out leads to their salespeople.
Yeah, you know, even when I was running Blind Devotion, you know, I didn't have a good sophisticated program, so I was using just a simple Excel spreadsheet. And this whole program is not about a sales pitch for Profit Finder Pro. It really is to teach you, and Susan happens to be the expert on it. That's why I invited her here, but it's to teach you the importance of tracking. I use an Excel spreadsheet, which helped me a lot, but I did have to spend a lot of time gathering the information. So are you able to email customers from your program as well?
Yes.
Now, that's something I couldn't do with, you know, just keeping track on a spreadsheet. So there was a lot of things that I wasn't capable of doing, but
you know, and the fact of the matter is, Jerry, even if you used an Excel sheet, you were tracking. You were using something to track. And, you know, that obviously there are certain numbers that you need to know in order to grow and run it. I don't know if you, did you continue with an Excel sheet all the way through till you sold
it? Hey, look, I'm spending $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, you know, kept getting more and more as the business grew. I'm not going to spend that kind of money and not know. I think it's funny people say, wow, that guy must be doing really good. He's doing a lot of advertising. You know what? They don't necessarily know. They're doing a lot of advertising and maybe they're getting business. Not everybody knows where their leads are coming from. And maybe they ask their customers and they think they know. Like I had, for instance, I had a customer, our biggest customer ever. It was like $35,000 deal. We gave credit to the internet because that's how she got to us. Well, we come to find out that she actually got to us through the newspaper. She looked at the newspaper ad, it went on to the internet. So it was important to track the numbers properly because, you know, a $35,000 customer, that pays for newspaper ads for a full year.
Right.
And, you know, but yet you're giving the credit to the wrong thing. So it really is important that your salespeople are asking, how did you hear about us? And then you are tracking. And that's something, too. You got to teach your salespeople how important it is and to get that information.
Right, exactly. And then a little bit later on, I'll tell you a little bit more about how the salespeople use it. But you're motivated, and very good salespeople will really enjoy having a system in place.
So one of the things that happens is people get some of these sophisticated programs. It's very complex. Why would Profit Finder Pro be easier to use?
Well, we call that, you know, when it's getting really complex, we call that feature creep.
Yeah.
So, you know, a system doesn't have to be real complicated or sophisticated to be effective, but it does need to give you the information you need in order to run and grow your business.
Yeah, and what I find is if it's complex, too, that people don't do it. It's like, oh, God, forget this. You know, I'm not going to do that, and they miss out on it. So I think it's important how easy it is to use.
Right, right.
So let's say you have a small company of, say, four people. Does everyone have to get on the program, or can the secretary pretty much run things?
Well, it starts with the secretary or whoever it is that's making first contact with these people. So if you put an advertisement out there, if it's a radio lead or newspaper or even website, whatever it is, you need to tag it from wherever it's coming. Yes, that secretary can, you know, is the starting point for it.
But it makes more sense to have everybody on board with the system. And even the decision for a system starts from the top and goes down. You know, if it's a system that can make such a big difference in your business, why wouldn't the one whose pockets are most affected be making that a decision?
Yeah, the owner. Yeah. Well, yeah, certainly the owner has to show that he cares.
And, yeah.
One of the things that I found was a huge advantage to having the system. I always had a problem with salespeople and secretaries getting email addresses. So one thing that's great about having a system is I had this thing pop up and say, did you get the email address? So it was a reminder to get the information. Did you get the marketing? You know, did you get the email address? And that constant reminder helped my secretary and my salespeople ask information that they were either uncomfortable asking or they didn't have that habit. But that habit was built by the system saying, right, hey, did you get this information?
Right, that's true. And it's if you have kind of a script even where they can practice, you know, and your system goes through in the order that you collect information, if you're going to ask for anybody's contact information, whether it's phone number, address, email address, there better be a reason for it, because people aren't just going to hand out that kind of information. So, you know, most people will, you know, if they're setting an appointment for a service, they need a destination. Okay, there's a reason to get the physical address. There's a reason to get the phone number. But could I send you an email confirmation of this appointment? You know,
and so many everybody people says love
yes, they give it to you without an email. I mean, without actually asking for the email address.
Yeah, I mean, it's the benefit of your customer. There's so many people that communicate through email, and they can do it day or night, anytime, at their convenience.
Right.
And I always find it strange. People are uncomfortable. I had a rule. I said, look, either ask for the email address or their underwear size. Whichever one makes you most comfortable, ask for that one. So you've got to give me one or the other.
I bet they were going for the underwear size.
Yeah, right. Some of them will. So, you know, and that's how we decided which salesperson to send out. No, I'm kidding. But I want to go over some of the things that we track with Profit Finder Pro. Let's start off with the sales. Tracking the sales.
Okay. Well, when you're tracking the sales, there are certain things that you're tracking in conjunction with those sales. For example, what does it actually cost to get a sale? What does it cost for your company to make a sale? If your company is making a budget, which you better be, at the beginning of the year you make your budgets, and you plan for, say, just to pull a number, 10% for your marketing, how do you know where you are if you're not tracking it? You're not even tracking the cost of getting a sale, okay? Because it has to be proportionate. Your sales, your revenues have to be proportionate to the cost. And so then just also tracking your salespeople. Who's selling what advertising? Who's selling what products or service? And at what cost to you?
Do you track, like, the closing rate of the different salespeople?
We do. Yes, we track the closing ratio, but that is not actually even the most important factor in measuring a salesperson's success. We're looking first at what is costing to get a sale, what are the revenues compared to the expenses as far as this person selling for us. So then once you have that type of information, you can start to see where your people are strong, and then you assign them to their strong places. Strong points. You send your strong closer to certain types of leads. Then you can start to work on closing ratios. Okay, so if they can sell this many and this many and this many of this, what can we do to increase that closing ratio and bring in even more revenues and, you know, profits?
Right. Now, I'm going to take this one, the marketing, because that's where I've got my expertise, is in how to get the most out of your marketing message and all that. And I know how important it is to track your advertising, not only the costs, but some of the other things you want to track, and you can do that with Profit Finder Pro. What's the average ticket sales amount for a certain ad is producing?
Right.
So what is the closing rate that you're getting off of a particular ad? So some of the measurements I had that really helped our business was when internet advertising, I knew, had one of the highest closing rates, and it also had the highest average ticket amount. You know, our average ticket amount on the internet was like $3,200. Our average ticket amount on things like a Savvy Shopper ad may have been $1,600, $1,700. So, and then you measure the closing rate.
Exactly.
It told us where we can put, and this is one way I was able to build a $300,000 business into a $1 million a year business, is by knowing exactly where to put my money in advertising wise to get the greatest closing rate and the highest average ticket price.
Exactly. And when you have that type of information, Jerry, you can even use it as leverage when you're working with different advertising agencies. You know, you show them, you know, I track this stuff, and these are my expectations from this kind of marketing, and if it doesn't work, I'm not using it.
Right, right. Yeah, you don't want to use an ad based on their sales pitch. You want to use it based on results.
Right.
So I have no companies who track but then don't adjust.
Yeah.
And that's just insanity, you know. They don't track. Also, what type of message? Maybe you have a advertising vehicle, like let's say the newspaper, and you run a certain sale or promotion, and it works great. But then next time you run another sale or promotion, if you don't know the difference, you know, how do you know how to adjust what your advertising is?
Yeah, exactly. And the message of the advertising. I know we had an example where a business owner had been tracking for some time and had placed an ad in the newspaper, the local newspaper, which he had been doing for some time. And he always got results. And this time was the first time he did not get one call.
Wow.
So usually when he had placed an ad, he'd see by Monday that, okay, I got 20 calls by the end of the day, or 40 calls, 100 calls, whatever it was. And he knew that he closed a certain amount, and the average sale was this. And so his projections were that, well, from this ad, these will be my profits, or these will be my sales. So when you have that history, you can also do your forecasting.
So how about things like getting a bank loan? Now I've got all this information. Will it help me work with my bank?
Sure.
To get a loan?
Yeah. Well, they say if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. And your banks are going to want to see your history, because your history determines your future. They want to see, you know, your plan, your action, what has historically been working for you, and, you know, kind of your trends. And
the things like credit with a supplier.
Same thing.
Yeah, and here's another thing. I mean, business gets slow, things happen, mistakes happen where you have to pay a lot of money, and so sometimes you have to make a call to your supplier and say, hey, look, I'm going to be a little bit late on the payment. But if you have these numbers and you can show them, it's not that the numbers that these guys are looking at, it's the fact that you're managing your business in a more impressive fashion than your competition and exactly. Their other customers.
Right.
So same thing for the bank. They see that you've got it together. You know what you're doing. You're managing your business properly, and you have strategies in place.
Right.
There is some
diligence behind it. You're not just operating by the seat of your pants.
Exactly.
Right.
And this is a big one for me. What about selling your business?
Right.
You know, have you ever seen Shark Tank?
I have.
You know, watch somebody get chewed up on the tank who doesn't know their numbers.
They don't have a plan in action, right?
Doesn't matter
how
good the product, the service is. You have no numbers. You don't know what your cost of goods are.
Yeah.
You don't know what your cost to acquire a customer is. So if you're going to sell a business, you can ask for more money if you have this kind of data.
That's right.
And they know that you really have your stuff together and you know what you're talking about.
Right.
So when they order the Profit Finder Pro, how long will it take till you receive the software?
Let me go back just one bit, because I kind of forgot an important point here about some of the results that some of our customers have had and that we personally have had in our business. We had one man who owns a roofing company in Tennessee, and he was at about $2.5 million when he came to us, and he started tracking because he wanted to grow his business. And as a result, within 25 months, he was at $12.5 million. That's a $10 million jump because he started tracking. And so he said that the biggest thing he realized once he started tracking was that he had to get out of his own way. He was the owner of the company. He was out there selling. he was not good at sales. He could find people who were much better at
that.
That's
funny.
Yeah, yeah. And so until he was able to see it in black and white, he didn't realize that.
And that's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And then he said, well, it was in, he was in roofing. He is in roofing still. And he had some help with Mother Nature with a nice storm rolling through there. But the fact of the matter is, he said they had their systems in place, and so they were able to really grab a lot of the market share during that time. And now, you know, as any of us, it's great. If I mean, we should all have a reason to go back to our previous customers and get more business or referrals, low-cost advertising.
Yep.
We use the high-cost advertising to get a customer, and then we want to keep those for a lifetime.
Right. It's 10 times easier to get an old customer than it is to get a new one.
Right, right. Exactly.
And less expensive.
Exactly. And then another really good example of a small company taking action based on results was another home improvement company, and they were spending a considerable amount of money on radio advertising. The leads were expensive, but in their minds and in any business owner's mind, the cost doesn't really matter so much as the cost percentage, you know, comparing to the amount of revenues. So if the leads bring in profitable sales, then it makes sense. But for this company, it was not paying off. Their cost of getting a sale through those radio leads was 36% overall. So they were paying 36% straight off the top of any contract just to make a sale, which didn't make sense for them because their budget was for around 10%. So they were going backwards before they even pounded the first nail, basically.
Wow.
So they'd been tracking their leads, but they hadn't taken action based on that tracking and the data. Okay, so now they bit the bullet and they acted. They saw that one of their reps was clearly selling radio leads better than the others. And according to the numbers, that guy should have been getting more of those radio leads, if not all of the radio leads. So they decided to hand it back to the salespeople and told them that, you know, hey, listen, look, this is what's happening. Our overall cost is at 36%. We can't afford to advertise at a cost like that. So either we need to bump up the revenues, bump up the sales, or we need to quit the advertising. It'd be just as well to cut off this advertising. But the guys didn't want to give up that station. There was pretty much mutiny. You know, they thought that was their bread and butter, but it wasn't the bread and butter for the company, that was for sure. Okay, and so they had also looked at the numbers and noticed that one of the guys was actually pretty close to goal, and the other one was way far off. And so they brought it down to or brought it to them and gave them a couple months to bring their individual costs down. And then starting December 1st, this was a year ago. It was in September when they presented it to the salespeople. And then starting last December, they were going to start assigning based on whoever was closest to or within a reasonable distance of where the company wanted to be in percentage, you know, margins. So come December 1st, one of the guys was about 13% cost of getting a sale. And so he was heading in the right direction. The other one was still above 50%, 51%. And he had a long ways to go. But as a company overall, they were coming down and heading in the right direction. So the guy at 50% was going to have to work his leads. He was going to have to go back to his old leads, dead leads, try to rehash, rumble up something to bring some of those to a close. Whereas the one who was at 13% would continue to be given these leads.
Right.
Okay. As long as he was continuing in the right direction. So long story short, by doing this and assigning to the stronger closer, several things happened. If you compare January through August 2013 to January through August of 2014, their billable sales were a little more than $1 million more
Wow.
this year than the previous year. And they attributed this to the way they assigned leads, the lead assignment, strong assigning to people's strengths. And then another thing that had happened is that the closing ratios increased. So the high closer for the radio station had been around 30%. And now he was at 47% because he was getting leads based on his strengths. In his mind, when he got one of those radio leads, it was closed before he ever even went to the customer.
Okay.
So there's a lot, you know, in the mind, the people's minds, no one's immune to, you know, keeping a real open mind.
Yeah.
Some of those things.
One of the lessons in marketing, they say, is never fall in love with your ad.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. You think you produce something good. I mean, mom likes it.
Doesn't matter.
It must be good. Everybody else likes the ad. You know, and the funny thing is the numbers don't lie.
Right.
And when you get it in there, you can't fight those numbers.
No, you can't.
You
it's
know,
in black
it really
and white.
It tells you. You got to adjust.
Exactly.
So.
Well, then the third thing, which was really a fun thing for them, was that this other salesperson who was at 50%, he was 51%, took this as a challenge and realized that leads were not going to just be distributed, just handed out just because you needed a lead. They were going to be earned.
Right.
Based on results. And so by a year later, his cost for radio sales, he had gone back, closed some, and was starting to be back in the lead distribution for radio leads from that station. It was down to 3% acquisition cost. And so he was back in the saddle and selling those radio leads himself. So overall, their company cost hovers around 8% at this point.
Well,
you know,
great.
Coming down from 36%
yeah.
to 8%, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, and that's pretty dramatic for a small company, you know, considering the cost of radio advertising, too.
Well, and here to explain, because the numbers can be confusing. The only reason that their costs went down was because the sales went up.
The sales went up.
The
yes.
profits went
yes.
up.
Yes.
That's why, percentage-wise, the cost went down. It wasn't because they spent less money.
Right. The actual dollar amount was the same.
Yeah, because knowing their numbers, they're able to adjust not only the marketing message, they're able to adjust the salespeople.
Exactly.
And getting ahead of the salespeople. I'm working with a company now that they have a tracking software system that they use. And it's a good system, but they're not utilizing it right. So they have one salesperson that doesn't close anything, and they won't fire her. So there's no leadership, no management there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you are using the data, if you're using the information, you can't help but to let them go.
Right.
You know, and they think we don't want to be a jerk and let this mother of two go. And,
right.
But... you can't allow somebody to stay there. And here's the other thing. You share the numbers with that person, and they understand, hey, I'm costing this company money. Maybe I should get out of the way.
Right. That you're exactly right on that. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because for your motivated, your good salespeople, they'll appreciate having a system in place like this. You know, the data is available for him or her to see, and if the company has their expectations out there, they know just by opening up the system that, oh my goodness, you know, I'm costing them 15% of every sale, 20%, whatever. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I need to get out there and get some low-cost or no-cost advertising. I need to get back to my previous customers. I need to get more referrals, whatever it is, in order to bring my overall cost down. And if I want more of these leads, I need to bring in some revenues.
Yeah, no.
So they'll appreciate that.
One of the things, too, I preach about, Susan, is a weekly meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a weekly meeting, you need a time that you're going to share your numbers.
Right.
You know, if you don't have a weekly meeting, you've got to start. That's going to help your business tremendously. And that's what helps you go over the stuff. And if you don't at least have a weekly meeting, then you need a scheduled time at first Tuesday of every month that you review the numbers.
Go over them, even if they are in the system and they can see them, you need to go over them with them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, right. Do something. I mean, even if it's not, don't worry about being perfect.
No.
Make the effort and you'll get profound results by doing that.
Exactly. If you look at the numbers, a lot of people are afraid to face the numbers, but again, your people who really want to be successful will use those numbers to their benefit.
So... again, this isn't a pitch, but I just want to ask Susan about her program, since she is the expert. How long does it take to, do they download the software? Do you send it to them?
No, it's actually a cloud-based software.
Oh, cool. So they can use it from anywhere.
They can use it from anywhere.
Oh,
as long as
cool.
they have internet access, they can use it. It syncs through to your phones and to your iPads and stuff like that, too.
Oh, that's neat, too, because everything's going mobile now. So
right.
somebody can enter customer information on... if they're a solopreneur, they
right.
can do everything from their iPhone.
Right, exactly. You know, even for me to find the radio station, I just pulled up my calendar and clicked on it, and it brought me here. So,
how long would it take to for a new person to get
going? It takes typically a person is up and running within 2 business days. Okay. And it depends on the kind of data that we're getting. If we're cleaning out a database and it's very sloppy, it might take a little bit longer depending on how much cleaning we have to do. But for those who have not been tracking, often they don't have a database transfer over. We can have them up and running within 2 days. And from the time that we actually start training a person, say your person who's taking the leads, it takes half an hour, an hour for them to get going as far as getting the information in there. As far as pulling the data and reading the reports and stuff, there's a little bit of a learning curve there, but to actually get them into the system, they're well on their way within an hour.
Now, forgive me for saying so. I don't like dealing with this crap. I say it in my book, you know, don't do $10 an hour work. So yeah. What I would do is give this to my secretary, say, you know, get with Susan and get with Profit Finder Pro, learn the program. I want you to start using this as our new CRM. And can I do that? Is it, you know I need to know the numbers, but can I give this to my $10 an hour person learn? Because I don't want to sit there and learn.
You can, and you don't have to learn. I would recommend at least opening it up and looking at the dashboard so you can see those numbers at a glance. But
yeah, I'll understand it over time.
And when you pull up the report, it's nothing complicated. You click and you click, and you have your numbers there. You can read those numbers. We're small business for small business, and part of our thought behind it is that we want to keep it simple so people can use it. And so anytime we get suggestions for an enhancement or a change, we seriously consider whether it's going to take away, distract from the simplicity of it. Again, the feature creep becomes too complicated.
So I know that the whole system was developed by your brothers, the home improvement companies, Roofer. What did your other brother do in home improvement?
Yeah, he was a one-stop shop. He started out with roofing, cabinetry, HVAC.
He does floor to ceiling.
Basically everything.
So I know it's guys who are good at home improvement, not good at building software. They're the ones that did it, and the whole reason was for the simplicity of it. So I do know it's a lot easier to use. And I used Hunter Douglas's program, and it was complicated, but again, it was important that my $10 an hour. So let's say that you've got your secretary, she's using the program, and she quits, or you have to fire her. Now I got to bring in somebody new. How long would it take for a new person? You know, it's the system's up and running, it's going, the information's in there, everything's good, but I just let this girl go. How long would it take for her to get on there and learn how to enter the information? And
half an hour.
Half an hour
to an hour. Yeah. They're fluent on it, and fluid, I should say, within about an hour as far as entering leads. The most important thing is to get the information in there, and then you can learn to pull it. It's very simple. Remember, excuse me, Jerry, we're a small business. Our users are small business, small to medium, you know, up to about $15 million. And the people who have started these businesses started because they were good at something. The roofer started because he was good at roofing. The decorative concrete was good at putting in decorative concrete pools, whatever it is. We have other, you know, tech companies using it because they provide software, you know, and stuff like that. But these people who are using it typically don't have IT people on board who can design different reports or have to understand all the ins and outs of programs. It's very simple.
Yeah.
You click a few buttons.
Yeah, I think, again, that a lot of older people, and I'm talking even people over 40, over 50, that we're business owners and we don't like to use some of the technology because of the complexity. We don't have time to learn it.
Right.
And I think where you guys made the big difference is by making the system very simple.
It's very simple, and you don't even have to program it to give you the data that you need. It's pre-programmed for that. That's the beauty of it. The numbers that are in there are the numbers that allowed these companies that I told you about to grow and to increase their revenues like that.
Well, and we don't, I want to make this clear too, Profit Now and Profit Finder Pro are two totally separate companies that were started at the same time.
Yeah, so coincidentally, but focusing on profits.
Yeah, we are focused on profits.
That's the reason for being in business.
It's important, yeah, again, increase profits, not just increase your workload, but It's really important. You can't do that without tracking, without knowing what's going on. So what's the best way to get started if somebody wants to order Profit Finder Pro?
Well, they can either go to our website at ProfitFinderPro.com, email me, Susan at ProfitFinderPro.com, and we can go from there. Go ahead.
One thing I forgot to mention, Susan's in this book, Step Into Your Vision 2.0, with Les Brown, who's a rock star in the marketing industry, John Azaroff, so another big player.
Yeah, in fact, if anyone is interested in reading this, I have some books, the limited amount that I'll send out to you. If you just send an email, Susan at ProfitFinderPro, give me your name and address, and I'll send it to you.
It's Susan at ProfitFinderPro.com.
.com. Okay. Right, and then I was going to say, I told you just before we started the show, I have my other book. I just got the edited version out, so one that is called Track It to Crack It. So that one should be out within a couple weeks, hopefully.
All right, great. So I really appreciate you joining me today, Susan. This is a lot of great information for our listeners, whether they decide to purchase Profit Finder Pro or not. I know they learned a lot from you today.
Yeah, whether they use my system or someone else's, it doesn't matter. You know, obviously I'd like them to use my system, but as long as they're using something to track it, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. We always say winners know their numbers. That's kind of our little jingle there. Winners know their numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, Susan's a sharp lady, so I know she put her contact information in with the CD for you. It's not only a radio show, we're doing a CD. So the information's there with your CD. So to get started, you can get a hold of her and make incremental improvements. Build a business that makes you more money, and build a business that you can sell or pass on to your kids, and keep working hard to build the greatest life you can for you and your family. I'm Jerry Levinson, and this is Profit Now.
Joining Profit Now with Jerry Levinson.